This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Our Sunday school classes can be dismissed. Amen. And I still just feel an overwhelming presence in the house right now. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Today I want to preach for just a little while on this subject and this topic. He cometh. He cometh. If you would, set your Bibles down. We're going to pray one more time. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful, Lord, for everyone that's gathered here today. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to hear your word. I pray, Jesus, that you would come down in this service in a spectacular way that only you can do. Search the very recesses of our heart. And Lord God, help us, Lord God, to receive this with all anticipation. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is by far one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That not the first half, but the last half. We don't like to talk about the thief coming, but can I remind everyone under the sound of my voice, he's coming. The Bible says that Jesus is no respecter of person, but can I tell you, neither is the devil. You can sit on an apostolic pew and you are not immune from the attack of the devil. Why? Because he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy, and he is not prejudiced against anybody. He will devour who he can. Amen. This verse makes it so clear that God is good. Amen. God's good. God's good, Brother Nelson. He's good all the time. And the devil is bad. Jesus is life, and the devil is death. I don't know about you, but I was taken out of a death cycle when he found me. I was headed down a road that led to nowhere, where I was caught up in vices and I was constantly doing things that wasn't pleasing, that was going to bring an end about to my life, that was going to end in death and the devil's death, where I would end in hell. But can I tell you, there was a day that I found an apostolic altar where Jesus met me. Amen. I didn't mean to get wound up this quick, but there's something about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Hey. Jesus heals, and the devil makes you sick. Let me tell you, think about it. I've yet to have a hangover living for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I've got drunk on the Spirit a few times, and I've yet to have a hangover the next day. Praise God. There's been a few times that I walk crooked. I remember one year in particular, somebody in our church got pulled over. It was a New Year's Eve watch night service, and the police officer pulled him over. He said, "Have you been drinking?" And the gentleman said, "Not like you think." He sure did. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to heal you. But the devil will make you sick. The devil binds us with habits and addictions, and Jesus breaks every single yoke. That's the Lord I'm talking about. Amen. The devil steals, but Jesus restores. The devil kills, but Jesus resurrects. Amen. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's many ways he gets this done. He doesn't come in with a chainsaw or a 9mm or any of these other objects that we're used to seeing death come by, but he comes by just a little bit here and a little bit there. You can recognize the devil by his works because he's a liar. Can I tell you, there's been an awful lot of people lose out with Jesus because of the lies that he plants between somebody's ears. He'll make you think that you're useless and worthless. He'll make you think that you're not enough, and he'll convince you of it to the point where you give up, because that's what the devil does. Can I tell you, Jesus is telling you today that you're more than a conqueror. Jesus is telling you today that you're more than enough, that you're his child, and he died for you. Amen, amen. I'm trying not to yell today, but I just get excited about it. Jesus said the thief comes for no other reason than chaos, confusion, loss, and destruction. He can use different things, but here's where he likes to, this is what he likes to use. He likes to use lying. He'll start out there where you tell that little white lie, everything's okay, and then he'll get you addicted to something. Can I tell you, when we think of addiction, the first thing we think of is, oh, well, Brother Lawson's talking about heroin. He's talking about crack. He's talking about alcohol. Can I tell you, pornography is an addiction. There's more than just these basic addictions. Can I tell you, you can be addicted to your job. You can be addicted to all these other things, and the devil will use it. When anything comes between you and the Lord, it can lead into an addiction. It doesn't matter what it is. Gambling's an addiction. I've seen many families crumble under the weight of gambling. Can I tell you, there's many addictions out there. We just got to be aware of them. They can also be false accusations. You know, I've seen people die because of false accusations. Let me tell you, you always listen to both sides of the story. Somebody comes to you telling you, Pac, you better find out the other side. How many of us have been victim of false accusations? Yeah. Somebody comes to you with a false accusation, you make sure you give that other person the benefit of the doubt. Amen. I don't know where that came from, but it's good anyway. Let me help you understand something. Evil imaginations, fear, and anxiety are all from the enemy. Anxiety is not of God. Perfect love does what? Casts out all fear. That is not from the Lord. That's the enemy. When anxiety and fear creep in and you're afraid, look, he wants to separate you from God by any means necessary. When we go back to the garden, amen. See, that's how it all started. The fall of man was with a lie, mixed in with just enough of the truth to make it palpable. Oh, well, you can't eat every tree of the garden. Look at this one over here. Surely you can eat that and not die. The Lord's lying to you. That's what he said. That's how he comes. That's exactly how he comes. It starts small. And then he gets you to take that bite. He gets you to try it. And then all of a sudden, fear and anxiety and condemnation come in. I want you to hear me. It never starts at the first smoke. It never starts at the first drink. It never stops at the first lie. I'm going to tell you, it starts there, rather, but it doesn't stop there. Once you're in, you're in. And before you know it, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. See, the Bible lets us know that the Lord would walk with them in the cool of the day. They had a close fellowship with God. But when sin entered into the picture, through one lie and then one act of a disobedience, it severed their communication with God. It drove such a wedge in there that they could not come back to it. The Lord showed up like he always does. Can I tell you, in the midst of your shortcomings, God's still going to show up. In the midst of your failure, Jesus never fails. He's going to show up. And can I tell you, when he shows up, he's not coming with condemnation. He just wants you to be real with him. He just wants you to be honest with him so he can get to the root of it and he can mend what is broken. But the enemy brings in fear and anxiety. Don't believe me? Adam said, Jesus called out to him, Lord called out to him, said, Adam, where out there? I hid because I was afraid. See, that's a work of the enemy. That's what the enemy does. See, it starts out so small. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. And what's replaced with that is anxiety and fear. The Lord was willing to meet Adam and Eve, but fear stepped in. Amen. You see, his goal is to strip you of your dignity and leave you hopeless. He wants to leave you helpless and feeling useless. He wants to make you feel like you've screwed up so bad. Am I allowed to say that? Okay, well, thank you. He wants to think that you messed up so bad that you can never be used again. You've messed up so bad that nobody's going to listen to you. You've messed up so bad that Jesus ain't going to accept you. Can I tell you, standing flat-footed today, the devil's a liar, and he is a thief of joy and peace and passes understanding. I want you to understand, if that's true, then I can't be here because I was a wretch that was found. You look around this sanctuary today, I know there's only a few of us, but I bet there's stories to tell of Jesus' grace and mercy. He wants to strip you and leave you feeling unworthy. That's how you identify a thief. He wants to destroy your self-esteem and your sense of worth and value. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to destroy your destiny. You see, because unlike us, the devil knows what you're capable of. He sees what could be done if you would just surrender it all to Jesus. If you would just lay it down at the feet of Jesus and let him have his wonderful way. And the devil will do anything he can to keep that from happening because he knows what happens if you submit yourself fully and say, Jesus, I am wholly yours. Amen. He wants to kill your destiny. He wants to kill you. He'll use drugs. He'll use whatever he can. Sickness, disease, he doesn't care as long as he accomplishes destroying you. Because your very existence is a threat to him. Shelbyville, today we sang, I'm going to see a victory. And the bridge of that song is so powerful. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. There were some things that were supposed to take you out. Your past was supposed to take you out. It was supposed to negate anything you ever did. You understand that? But can I let you in on a secret? Jesus is going to take what the enemy meant for evil, and he's going to turn it for good. I want you to hear me today, regardless of what a man says. Jesus trumps everybody. It doesn't matter your background. When you submit it to God, when you lay it on an altar and say, Jesus, it's yours. I give it to you. He forgets it. Why can't we? My, I'm here to tell you today, that's what the thief does, though. He wants you to feel unworthy. He wants you to be broken, battered, and bruised. I want you to understand this. The thief is coming. He's going to come to every single person under the sound of my voice. He does. Think about it. When the angels came before the Lord, the enemy made his way there too. Job, he wasn't doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he was upright. And the Lord asked the devil, said, what are you doing? He said, I'm roaming 2 and 4, seeking who I might devour. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? There ain't none like him. Can I tell you? I had a hard time with that. Because here, Job's doing everything right, and the thief still came. If the thief came to him, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to come to us. He came to the mount and tempted Jesus while he was fasting 40 days. If he's going to come and tempt Jesus, why would he not come at us? Why would he not come to our door? As a matter of fact, he will come to our door, and he will try to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not if he does, it's when he does. because he does not want you loose. The Bible didn't say he'll kill, steal, and destroy everything and everyone. It just says that his purpose is for coming. But you can devil-proof your life. Look, I'm going to tell you, you cannot prevent him from coming, but you can prevent him access. He can come. Look, Brother Nelson, he can come, but you don't have to grant him access. He can come and try to stir up things, but you don't have to let him in. You get to decide if he makes access or entry or not. It's completely up to you and I. Yes, the devil goeth about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but you don't have to be a victim. You do not. Tell your neighbor, he ain't going to devour me. Tell your other neighbor that I ain't no devil snack. I am not a devil snack. I am not. I am going to do whatever the Bible tells me I need to do to devil-proof my life. I want to make sure that I am closed off to the attack. Amen. The Bible says that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there were those that fell behind and became stragglers. What happened to them? Amalek came upon them from behind and killed them all. Can I tell you? They were left behind. It's not that they were intentionally left behind. They allowed themselves to be left behind. We have a choice. We have a choice. You see, let me go ahead and hit this head on. When you separate yourself from the church, you become prey for the enemy. The body's there for a reason. If you look in the animal kingdom, if a baby antelope or gazelle gets separated from the flock, that's what the lions and tigers target, because they're now alone. Can I tell you, if the devil can get you alone and get you in your own head space where you're thinking about things that have never happened, but he plants that seed, he's got you right where he wants you. That's not devil-proofing yourself. That's opening yourself wide open to the devil. That's why it's important that you find a body. You get in that body. That body knows how to pray. You begin to devil-proof your life. You get yourself in an area where you are protected and covered by the prayers of those around you. So important. How could Amalek get these people who straggled behind? It's because, and let me put it in today's vernacular and today's situation, let me make it applicable today, they quit reading their Bible. They quit praying. I'm going to drop the F-bomb right here. Is that okay? Remember, you just said it was okay, so. Four-letter F-word. They quit fasting. They quit that. They quit doing the things they knew to do because they got comfortable. Can I tell you, a pastor knows when things get way too comfortable, because you'll see things fall off. And that's what happened to these that came out of Egypt. They thought, now that I'm delivered, I really ain't got to worry about nothing, so I'll just kind of stroll through life and do my own thing. No. How many of us lock our doors at night? Anybody? Yeah? Lock your car doors? I do. I used to be like you. I learned. Why do we do that? Why do we lock our house up like that? How many of us double check? How many of us have significant others that say, hey, get up and check the door again? It ain't only me, praise God. Well, let me tell you, why do we do that? Because there's something valuable on the inside. Now, if we're that careful with carnal things, how much more should we be careful with spiritual things? Put the lock on your prayer life. Put the lock on your Bible reading. Put the lock on your fasting life. Put the lock on everything you're doing in the kingdom of God. Make sure that you're devil-proofing your life. We cannot quit pursuing and chasing after God. How many of us remember how diligent we were when we were first saved? Anybody? Boy, I'm going to tell you, I was on fire. I was on fire, boy. I remember I went on my job, and I seen a situation that ought not be, and I called it out, and I got punched right in the mouth. And I remember after getting my composure back, I didn't try to go to Fist City. I just looked at him and said, "It don't change the fact that ain't right, and you going to hell." I don't recommend doing that. But that was me pursuing God. But here's the problem. After a while, we get settled into a routine, and we get lax, and we, you know, it's okay. Aggravating Brother Kalen, for a long time I made sure to lock my doors every night on my car. Long time. I forgot one night, and guess what happened that night? Somebody got in there, took all $32 I had to my name. It was all in change. But it was mine. See, the enemy, will, he's patient. He'll wait. He'll wait because it's worth that much to him to see you fall. See, he wants to eat you up. That is his goal in life. That's why we cannot become lax in our devotion, in our prayer, in our fasting. Amen. We can't afford to become cool, and we can't afford to not be hungry for the things of God. Can I tell you? I remember when I first got in, I was hungry for the things of God. That's all I wanted to do. But you know, we all get in a season where we get into the humdrum. It's time to shake ourselves and get back to our first love, where Jesus was everything and there wasn't nothing coming in between him. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we get to that place, we will see a victory. We will see revival. We will see God do the unthinkable. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, the thief will come, but you can prevent a break-in. You can decide not to give him any access. You can build a fortress around your heart and your mind and your soul that he cannot penetrate. So the point here is this. You stand in the middle, and you have to decide what you're going to choose. The good shepherd or the thief. It's your choice. Every day, you make conscious decisions. Can I ask this question? How many of us have had fiery darts hit us out of nowhere that we, you know, wasn't from Jesus? Now, you have the opportunity to act on that both ways. You can either say, well, that's an interesting thought. Let me dwell on that. Let me tell you something. When you start to dwell on something, before long it becomes an action. You start thinking that fiery, and the enemy is not stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's not stupid. He knows your hot button. He knows exactly where to hit. But you have the opportunity to make a decision. I'm putting that out of my mind. I'm going to see a victory. Look, I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing run the devil off like you singing a hymn. You want to really put him on the run? Add a little dance in there. Just give her one of these and start praising God. And look, I'm going to tell you, speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, I need you right now. I need you to come through, Lord. My mind's not right. And look, I'm going to tell you, it's so easy to decide, but so many people fail at this step. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So both come to your life, and you're the one that gets to choose. You're the one that gets to choose when you smash your hand, whether I'm going to be making a fool of myself, saying words I ought not to say, or I'm going to be a light for Jesus. Come on, it's that simple, really. A brother shared with us earlier that he was on his job, and he works with his hands a lot. And he said, you know, I had a guy come up to me. He said, you know, I hear a lot of these other Christians, they smash their hands, they cuss, but you don't cuss. And he said, well, we ought not do that. We ought not do that. Blessing and cursing ought not come out the same mouth as what the Bible says. I don't know. You can have the abundant life that Jesus gives, or you can be destroyed by the thief. That's the only two choices you have. See, it's one or the other. You can't have, but no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one, hate the other. It's That's what the Bible says. So every day we get this choice. Every day. This is not just a one-time choice. The thief is always coming by to see what he can get in. He's always looking for a break in the wall, the place where you let down your guard, the place where you become apathetic. Well, I'm past that. Look, I'm going to tell you, if you have something that leads you into something you ought not do, cut it off. I'm telling you. If I struggle with alcohol, I'm not going to go to a bar. If I struggle with pornography, I'm not going to get on the web. I'm going to be very careful, right? If I have, look, oh, I'm getting ready to tread in some places right now. Praise God. If I have a problem with gossip, I ain't going to go to Long Tongue Lucy and have a conversation. If I have a wild side a mile wide, I'm not going to find the rowdiest person in the bunch to go hang out with. I'm going to be real. Don't y'all stop hanging out with Sister Lawson. She really is a good person. And it is a mile wide. Tell me how I know. Ask me how I know. Amen. We cannot take for granted that everything's covered. Our spiritual life should be a fortress, and it should be on guard. It should be protected by ADT or whatever. There should be signs all around our spirit that says, I'm guarded by prayer. I'm guarded by the Word. I'm guarded by the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, it's my personal belief we all speak in tongues every day. I don't know about you. I need the Holy Ghost everywhere I go. I need it going to Walmart. I really need it going to Walmart. I need it going to work. I need it on the phone, especially when I'm talking to Brother Nelson. Praise God. You're trying to guess which one? I mean both of you. I check my doors 2 and 3 times. Why don't we check our spirit 2 and 3 times? Why don't we check? Look, I'm going to tell you. You really want to indict yourself? You really want to hurt your own feelings? Go find out what your screen time is on your phone. Oh, Lord, I see some guilty looks in the phone. Lord, let's just raise our hands right here. We're going to pray. You get that notification. You spent 8 hours of screen time per day. Oh, are you spending that much time in prayer? How much time you spending in prayer? Lord, have mercy. There's going to be an altar call today. I feel it. How much time are we spending with the Lord? How much of our day does he get? Are we really thief-proofing our temple? We identify him by his word. He steals. He steals peace. He steals joy. He steals your love. He steals your finances. He steals your dreams. He steals your dignity. He steals your self-worth. You don't believe me? Anybody who's ever been had an addiction in their life, tell me it didn't steal your finances. Tell me it didn't steal your relationships. Tell me it didn't steal love in your life. Tell me it didn't steal your joy. Look, I'm going to tell you, it does. That's what the enemy does. He wants you miserable. He wants you miserable at life. He wants you angry at God when all the time it was our own selfish decisions that allowed it. The thief wants to kill your spiritual man. Let me tell you, through the avenues he uses to steal, he'll also kill you. I know good people who passed away because of the avenues that the enemy flowed through. And he destroys. He wants to ruin your witness. He wants to shatter your dreams. He wants to make you feel useless. But praise God, Jesus steps in right in time, and he restores it all. Can I tell you, there is nothing so broken that Jesus can't fix it. There is nothing so bruised and battered that he can't mend it. There has been nothing stolen that the Lord cannot replace. I want you to understand that. How many of us can look back and say, well, I regret this. I hate that I did that. Can I tell you, Jesus has a way of working that out for your good. Romans reminds us that all things work together for good. The thing that you thought was going to destroy you is now going to be a strength to you. You were addicted. How many of us, people know us by the bad stuff, but not the good stuff? Anybody? Come on now. Now I'm getting into it. But see, what Jesus does is he gives you a new identity, and he gets glory out of it. Because what you were, you're not anymore. And now you become a living testimony. The Bible says in Revelation that they were overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. You can't miss that. We have to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. But then it goes on to say, the word of our testimony. Without a test, there's never going to be a testimony. Without you walking in some dark places, there's never going to be a testimony. But now that you've come through, you can devil-proof your life. Amen. Jesus put in a nutshell every dark, evil, perverse, murderous thing the devil was capable of doing, and then he says, but I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. It's like Jesus saying, to add it all up, anything that the devil can do, I can undo. Anything he can get you caught up in, I can get you untangled out of it. Anything that caused you hurt, I can heal it. It doesn't have to be that way. I want you to say that with me. It doesn't have to be that way. I'm gonna ask you to say one more phrase that changed my life forever. It's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way. Those few words right there, I believe it was about 1995, changed my life. I was at one of the lowest points of my life. And I was, look, I'm going to tell you, I was angry. I was hurt. I didn't understand what God was doing. And, Brother Kalen, it was like a lightning bolt. The joy, Brother Crenshaw, of the Lord came over me. And I started grinning. I did. I started smiling, Brother Goker. And I had a real jerk for a boss. Lawson, what are you smiling at? Oh, nothing. That grin got real big. He said, you either going to tell me or I'm going to work you twice as hard. I was thinking to myself, you can't work me no harder when you're already working me. I said, you really want to know? And he said, yeah. I said, it ain't always going to be like this. I said, and then I began to speak life into my own life. I couldn't see what was happening, but I felt and I knew what God was going to do. And I said, about this time next year, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And while he shook his head in disbelief, something rose up in my spirit, and it was exactly that. And can I tell you, it was a year later, I pulled up on one of his job sites, and I was driving a new car. I did have a new job. God was doing new things in my life, all because I decided to speak some. Can I tell you, when you tell the devil it ain't always going to be like it, it ain't always going to be like this. The enemy wants to steal and destroy, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord's about to give you an abundant life. Here's what I know about Jesus. In Acts 10:38, not only did he say it, but he did it. Listen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus went around undoing the damage the devil had done. Now, Hebrews 13:8, anybody knows what that says? Probably one of the most profound verses in the Bible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was undoing it then, I've got news for you, friend. He can undo it today. I don't care how bad it is. He can undo it. I don't care how far down the road you went. He can undo it. It doesn't matter what people say. He can undo it. 1 John 3:8 says this: for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He is the source of abundant life. When we come to an altar and we lay it all down at his feet, that's where we find the abundant life. When we say, God, here's my life, it's no longer mine, it's yours. I'm not falling into the old things that I used to be in. Jesus, it's all yours. I surrender. And then you watch what God will do. You watch how he moves. He's not just the one that gives us abundant life. He is the life. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm it. I was 20, 21 years old when I came to God, and I have no regrets. My life was not absent of trial. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. My life was not absent of trial. Sis, I had hard times. Sister Lawson had hard times. But through it all, Jesus walked with us. We never had to doubt. The thief is going to come, but he does not have to prevail. When we are tapped into the source of life, we can make it through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It didn't say that he was going to pluck me out. He said, I'm going to walk it, but I don't have to feel because fear no evil, because his rod and his staff comfort me. He's going to be beside me. He gives us life not by giving us things, but by giving himself. You know, you can have all the things in the world and be miserable. You could have a big, beautiful F-350 with all the goodies on it. You could have the big house. You have all these things and be absolutely empty inside. And then on the same token, you can have Jesus and know that's all I need. Completely satisfied. I want you to know that just because you follow God doesn't mean you're going to be a pauper all your life. The Bible's very clear about that. That in Matthew, he said, it's coming to me, I lost it for a second. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. He's going to supply your every need, but you have to follow him. You have to seek him first. The things that you think are so important, when you seek him first, a lot of them lose all their importance because you realize what life is all about. He offers what he has of himself abundantly. John 7:37 says, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. His intention for us, he doesn't want us just to survive to the end. He wants us to overflow. He wants us to be abundant, where we're just walking in the grace and mercies of God, where that we are a channel and a vessel of him. Can I tell you, I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost, I'm splashing on other people. That's what I want to be, like the toddler that's got the little cup that they filled all the way to the top because they were real thirsty. And as they're walking, they're splashing it all over everybody. I know y'all probably ain't never seen your children do that, but my children did. And I did myself. But I want to be that with the Holy Ghost. I want to splash out on some people. I want some people to know about Jesus. I want to live in the abundant overflow of God. Let me tell you something. This overflow didn't come cheap. As a matter of fact, it cost Jesus his life. Amen. There was an ultimate sacrifice made that we could live in this overflow. Galatians 3:13 says this: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He drained our cup of judgment and poured it on himself. He took a crown of thorns to give us a crown of righteousness. He took the beatings so we could be healed. He was forsaken so I could be accepted. He went to hell so I could go to heaven. What is the meaning of abundant life? It's this: I have purpose. There's a reason I'm here. Can I tell you, if you're under the sound of my voice today, you have a purpose. The thief tried to come and steal it from you, but the Lord's coming and undoing what the thief tried to do. You are not at the end of your road. Can I tell you that sitting on that pew is not where your story ends? Philippians 1 and 21 says this, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." We're all called according to His purpose. Every single one of us has a job to do. Every one of us. Look, I'm going to tell you, how many of us in the church, and I want you to be completely honest, has ever felt insignificant? Absolutely. Do you think the Lord's telling you that? No. That's the enemy. The enemy wants you to feel that way so you'll get discouraged. And so that you'll just give up. Well, what's the point of me being there? I don't serve any purpose. I just take up space on a pew. I know I've thought that. I know there's been times where I just wanted to throw my hands up and go home, and then there'd be a preacher there to tell me, you have purpose. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet to the nations." You are on assignment. And sometimes people are not going to understand your assignment. Do you know why? Because it's not their assignment. It's your assignment. I don't understand everything you do at CompU whatever. I would probably mess some things up. But Daniel, if people were dependent on me to save their physical life, like putting paddles on them, they would probably be electrocuted. I don't know, because that's not my assignment. But Coop, you're a welder, right? Yeah, we ain't even going to talk about that. That would not be pretty. But that's your assignment. In the kingdom, we all have our assignment. Don't let one person's misunderstanding of your assignment derail you into thinking you're unimportant, because it's just not true. The body works together. The body needs every piece. I was born on purpose for a purpose. There's not anybody under the sound of my voice that's an accident. There's a life of peace that comes with this. John 14 and 27, and I'm winding down. "My peace I give unto you. The peace of God is an assurance and calm beyond circumstances." I know of a saint went to a regular doctor's checkup. And while at the doctor's office, the doctor said, "I got to get you to U of L right now. There's going to be a room waiting on you because you're in dire need." And this dear sweet saint of God said, "But I can just drive myself." And the doctor looked her in the eyes and said, "I don't think you understand how bad this is." And the saint said, "No, I'll be fine. I'm just going to call my husband." Walked out with dignity intact, and the saint got to the car, called her husband and bawled, "I don't know what's going on, but I've got to get to U of L right now." Got to U of L, was taken immediately to the oncology ward. Pretty sure we all know what the oncology ward is. It's the cancer ward. Immediately, nurses came in, one blood transfusion, two blood transfusions. See, what this sweet saint of God didn't know is she was about out of blood. And in a moment where she should have been terrified, she looked up to heaven and she said, "God, I trust you." Whatever you're doing right now, I trust you. If there's someone I'm supposed to talk to here, put them in my path. Let me be a light. That's a life of peace. John 14 and 27 says this, my peace I give unto you. That's that life more abundantly. When tragedy comes, when things are uncertain, you have a peace that knows that Jesus is with me. In Acts 1 and 8, he gave us power. But ye shall receive power. That means that you have all power over the enemy, and that you can speak things and know that the Lord's going to take care of it. These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Shall tread upon scorpions. Drink anything they want to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I want you to stand with me today. There are two coming, and you have the choice of who you're going to invite in. You can allow the thief to come in to steal every good, virtuous thing out of you, or you can seal your tabernacle off with prayer and fasting and the Word, and you can live an abundant life. I wish I could make this choice for you, but it's one that you have to make. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For some, under the sound of my voice, the enemy has been knocking on your door. Don't let him in. Don't let him in the crack. Make sure everything's sealed off. Make sure there's a surrender to God like you've never had that will keep the enemy at bay. Open up to the Lord. Those secret places that they're so tender, they hurt so much. If you want the Lord to undo that, you have to give him access. See, that's the thing about going to the doctor. He can't treat you unless you let him treat the injured part. There's some injuries that have been covered up. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's some injuries that happen, and they may have happened years ago, but you keep covering them up so that nobody sees it, and you put on that face that everything is good. But today, the Lord wants to heal it because he wants to give you life, and that more abundantly. I invite everybody to this altar.